Hi, my name's Rob Scott from UC Today News, and welcome to our April Microsoft Teams news update. As always, I'm joined by Microsoft Teams expert and co-founder of Empowering Cloud, Tom Arbuthnot, and together we're going to be talking through the most popular Teams headlines across the month. Plus, then after the news, we're going to be diving into some open Teams Q&A with our panel of experts on the line today as well. And hopefully we'll be having some fun just talking through the latest and greatest Teams headlines, because there's lots happened this month. But let's get started. Welcome, Tom.
Yeah. Hey, Rob. How's it going?
Yeah, really good. Really good. Just got back from Orlando, Florida. Enterprise.
You're literally just back, aren't you?
Literally just got back, yeah. But, you know, it's been such a big month in March. Lots to talk about. I mean, you know, how's it been for you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I mean, Enterprise Connect was a really great event. It was just back-to-back meetings with vendors and Microsoft and customers. So I really enjoyed that. And that's been the bulk of the news. So it's a great time for an update show, because there was so much news dropped at Enterprise Connect.
Great. Well, we got a great, superb crowd on the line today to run through some of the news. But let's start with the big one. Why not? Let's talk about Microsoft Copilot.
Yeah.
What's your take, Tom?
Yeah, this was the huge one. So this was actually announced the week before Enterprise Connect. So it was technically a pre-Enterprise Connect, but then it got re-demoed at Enterprise Connect live on stage. For those that haven't seen, I think everybody must have seen this now. This is taking OpenAI's ChatGPT type modeling and putting it into Office 365. So not just Teams, but the whole Office 365. So last week, well, the week before Enterprise Connect, Microsoft did a demo where they showed it creating PowerPoint decks, converting PowerPoint decks into Word documents, even getting into things like Viva. But at Enterprise Connect, it really focused on the Teams elements, which are things like mid-meeting, you could ask the co-pilot what's gone in the meeting so far, summarize the points for me, what's the tone of the meeting, and things like after the meeting, you could also query what happened. So Microsoft came up with this concept of following a meeting where you don't actually attend, you press follow, and it will fire you a summary of the key points based on using those large language models and that ChatGPT-like experience.
Yeah, there was so much on show, wasn't it? And to show those specific use cases was absolutely perfect for the crowd at Enterprise Connect. I mean, in terms of, you know, favorites, I mean, I particularly like the follower meetings, you know, feature. I think I'm going to get a lot of use out of that. Tom, do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely a good one. I think what's interesting about this is everybody at the show announced something to do with AI. Like, AI was the topic of the show across all the vendors. And we've had AI around for a while in terms of things like codec optimization and video optimization. What's super interesting now is it's using the AI against the information. Obviously, Microsoft have the meeting transcript, they have the emails, they have the chat, they have all the other data across SharePoint. So I think what's really interesting is not just this initial stuff we're seeing around Teams, where potentially another vendor could summarize a meeting, but when it gets into like, tell me what my latest engagement with my customer have been, and it spans chat, email, and meetings, that's where it's really exciting for me.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, AI was the theme, wasn't it, last week at the event? So I know we're going to see lots more and more from the industry and from Microsoft on this. But yeah, it's going to be certainly one to you know, watch as it develops and goes forward. But really looking forward to being rolled out. I mean, Tom, when is Copilot, you know, entering Teams?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's still very early, and a lot of these AI announcements are pre-announcements. So Microsoft haven't even got it rolled out completely internally. Only select people have it at the moment, and we'll see it very phased. So the things you've seen in all these massive keynotes, I think, will come out step by step. But Teams meeting transcripts and meeting summary feels like a contained use case where I think it will be one of the earlier ones. I think we're looking at second half for some of this stuff in the real world.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I mean, another I suppose preview we got last week was the new Teams client, wasn't it? Which was particularly interesting. Although I didn't see a huge amount of difference between Teams 1, is it 1.0 and 2.0? You know, Tom, what's your take?
Yeah, so we're calling original Teams Teams Classic now, and new Teams is just Teams or new Teams. There is quite a big difference in day-to-day use. They did a demo at Enterprise Connect where they tried to launch them at the same time, and it was pretty close on the demo, to be honest. But I mean, the average of some of the performance increases are launch speed between the first app and the new app is two times faster. But I mean, how often do you launch? But join meetings is two times faster, switching chats 1.7 faster, 50% less memory, 70% less disk space, but just generally snappier across the board. Where you really notice it is on low form factors, so things like education, laptops, things like that, where the resources were super constrained. Like if you've got a really powerful PC, you're not going to notice too much, but on those lower end form factor machines, it makes a huge difference. But also, it has new features, so it allow you to sign into multiple tenants simultaneously and receive notifications from all of them. For so, like a lot of the people on this session deal with multiple customers, multiple environments. It's much more like the mobile client now. You'll just get notifications regardless of which tenant you're on. You can even reply and switch tenants and still keep your meeting going. So a much slicker experience with that cross-tenant scenario, which is really nice.
So all in the background, because I was kind of expecting to see some kind of new user interface, but it does look a little bit different. Is that correct?
Yeah,
That fair to say?
they've toned down the purple a little bit, a bit more clean and modern. And there are new experiences. So things like channel chat now has a slightly different experience where the most common chat is at the top and you create a new thread and reply to a thread in different positions. So day to day, again, that cleans up the experience slightly for the channel-based chat. But mostly the thing is the performance improvement. And it's worth bearing in mind, this is still preview. So it is public preview. Anybody can get to it. There'll be a toggle in public preview, but it doesn't yet have third-party app integration. It doesn't have advanced calling features like call queues, and it doesn't have the advanced meeting capabilities like breakout rooms. So hence its preview. It's not yet for everybody, but I'd say 90% of users are going to see all the core features there. It's just those line of business apps that is a real blocker for some people.
Yeah, for sure. Let's hear what Josh has got to say.
Well, Tom took what I was about to say, so thanks, Tom. That's what I was going to comment on the fact that the chats are reordered, as Tom mentioned, within the channel. So I think that might help with some cleanup, but also it's going to be a reversal of training the brain to where we've been used to doing it X way for a while. We're going to have to keep that in mind as you switch over to the new client, why things are a little different in there, but it is a sleeker, better feel. And when you go, back to the performance and the demo, like you said, those lower end laptops, I think is where you're going to feel it the most. I imagine they have the most clean type of environment they can for demos to make sure nothing goes wrong and angers the demo gods, right? So they probably didn't have what we usually have, which is 30 different applications, 20 different 20 is being generous, tabs open in our browser, the things that really bog down the machine and will let you notice a difference in that client. I'm sure they were operating under a much cleaner environment. So yeah, it was a bit negligible on stage. Plus Nicole cheated and clicked start a little too early.
I agree with the performance. I think it's much needed. I think, the client has been around for a few years now, and it needed an update from the performance perspective. And I think for enterprise customers, the worst thing you can have is one bad Teams meeting goes around the world in about 30 seconds, I've noticed, and always seems to get to someone with C in the title. And it was affecting people. So I'm really glad to see that performance, and I think it will make a big difference.
Superb. Right. Well, next up, we said we'd talk about bring your own device, because that was another quite hot theme or hot topic at Enterprise Connect last week on the Microsoft stand. Tom, tell us more.
Yeah, this is huge. Like this got slipped in at the very end of the keynote. It's like here's another option. But I mean, Microsoft traditionally has been quite down on BYOD, so it was like that's a suboptimal experience. But now I think the market pressures there of some customers wanting a BYOD option means Microsoft have responded. And what this is, they announced essentially they call them low compute devices. So Android-based devices, low compute, sub $1,000 price point, where you will have some kind of unit that connects to the TV, a little monitor and audio and video. And in the first case that was announced was Crestron Air Media, a wireless dongle with a Teams button. So the compute is coming from your laptop, but it will hook up wirelessly to the screen and have a Teams-like experience. So you'll have a welcome screen that's showing it's a Teams room, and you'll be able to connect no drivers, no software, and ping your meeting onto the big screen and have the proper audio video experience.
That's pretty cool. Is there a particular use case you think Microsoft are going after here, or is it just BYOD? We just think everyone's going to use this. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely not to replace the Teams Room experience. Like, the Teams Room experience still has much more capabilities, things like front row, advanced audio, clever camera stuff. So this is a very basic experience, but I think it's just hitting that the price point that some people want to hit, because not every room justifies a Microsoft Teams Room investment. And B, some people just like, for whatever reason, that BYOD experience. Maybe they're doing multi-vendor on BYOD. It'd be interesting to hear from the group. I know we've got a few people here, what their thoughts are, but it's quite a different experience that Microsoft previously didn't have a blessed option for.
If only we had someone here from Crestron.
We've got just about everybody else.
When you look at that, as you say, they sort of got that demo in at the last minute of this. You know, it's essentially what they call a Teams panel on that front room display. So it's that application, I think, is loaded on that questionnaire media. So you get to see, you know, a nice, Teams UI, should we say, on that front room display, hit the magic button, and then that will, you know, pop out essentially your Teams client just to have a front of room display, so you don't see your chat and messages. So it's a nice, I think, clean solution for those orgs that want to do BYOD. As you say, Tom, you know, not everyone's stuck in Teams all day. We're on multi-vendor applications. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, this come to life and, you know, what other vendors will follow. I think, you know, obviously Crestron are first. It'll be interesting to see who else will develop this solution.
The announcement said multiple market. Vendors are coming. Yeah, so there's definitely going to be other vendors in play. And I think Crestron's, tends to be a more premium brand as well in terms of price point and devices. So I think we'll see progressively more aggressive price points for that kind of stuff from other vendors as well.
But and just to follow on, anyone hear what Ilya mentioned in the keynote as well at the end, as part of BYOD? I'm sure, unless I'm dreaming this, I think he mentioned digital signage as well. So, you know, may not just be the sort of Teams panel display. You know, the other vendors do digital signage as part of their ecosystem. So it's just Microsoft starting to dabble in the water with enterprise signage.
Yeah, I think that was mentioned. Also, all this stuff reports back into the Pro Portal as well, so you get management updates, reporting as well, which is really, really important. That's one of the things that BYOD doesn't give you traditionally, is proper understanding of is the kit up and running and plugged in and being used. But yeah, you've got that. I mean, what's interesting is most things are a low compute Android device these days. So will we see all-in-one monitors which already have Android potentially have wireless streaming in them and become a Teams Lite endpoint of some type? Will Microsoft restrict this to kind of certain sizes or certain types of devices? It'll be really interesting to see where the line is drawn on feature and functionality and price between the BYOD option and the proper Microsoft Teams Room option.
Yeah, of course, Microsoft are going to charge money for this. So there's a shared device license is required to actually get them to appear in the Pro Portal for the management. So, you know, I guess BYOD is a really bad option if Microsoft aren't making any money out of it. But as soon as Microsoft get a little bit of the money, then yeah, BYOD, go for it.
Absolutely. That's a good point. That's my cynical hat, there'll be a license leveraged here, which is an upside for Microsoft for sure.
But just imagine, you know, certified camera, certified audio, that kind of thing plugged into this thing at the screen side, reporting back into the Pro Portal and potentially getting updates via the Pro Portal for, you know, whatever camera audio and whatever else you've got plugged in. I think that's a really good thing. You know, it just makes it a first-class citizen. I mean, of course, a lot of the vendor options actually do BYOD. Neat, Logi, everybody else has a BYOD flip of some description built into the base solution. But that takes it out of the Teams land and into its own, you know, kind of vendor ecosystem thing. So yeah, I wonder if that will ever kind of come to the foreground as well.
Yeah, this was the interesting thing about this BYOD. It's BYOD your own computer for a Teams meeting, not BYOD any client for any platform as well. So you're still kind of locking into the Teams ecosystem, as I understood it. I don't know if Air Media has, I mean, obviously Air Media have a generic mode as well, but is judging by previous things in Teams, I imagine the Teams version will be a Teams version.
Yeah, I mean, it remains to be seen whether you'll be able to join a meeting from another platform, as you said.
Well, staying with Teams rooms, we also heard a little bit of news about Surface Hub last week, Tom, didn't we?
Yeah, another interesting one that got announced actually on stage is Surface Hub 2S is going to be a proper legit Microsoft Teams Rooms on Windows device. So a bit of background, the Surface Hub runs a fork of Windows called Windows Team Edition, which is nothing to do with Teams, bless Microsoft's naming. It's just a Team Edition singular. And that runs the experience you get on a Surface Hub. So a collaborative experience that runs the third-party apps as well. Microsoft are now moving towards those units running standard Microsoft Teams Rooms on Windows. So running Windows, I think it's IoT, and then running the Windows Teams app. So quite a different experience. They'll be like any other Microsoft Teams in Windows. You'll be able to attach any of the certified peripherals to the Service Hub. But what's interesting here is that will make it a Microsoft Teams on Windows, and Microsoft Teams on Windows don't currently support apps. So you're losing some functionality there as a Surface customer. There's like a 2-year window, so it's quite a long time away. But I wonder if that will put the pressure on Microsoft in terms of Teams as a platform to start bringing apps to that large form factor experience. And if they do, is that a Microsoft Teams on Windows experience? Is that a Microsoft Teams on Android experience? We've talked before about the two worlds coming together. I find it interesting that Teams is an app platform and we can put apps on panels, we can put apps on Teams display, but we can't put apps on rooms, you know, so it'd be interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so next up, we said we'll talk about Microsoft Android OS. Tell us more.
Yeah, this is another huge one that it didn't even get mentioned on the stage, just got mentioned in the blogs. So one of the challenges of Microsoft Teams Rooms on Android is people's trust in Android as a platform, and not abstractly just Android as a platform, but how those vendors, the OEMs that use Android, look after it. So there's loads of conversations about Android security, and each vendor has to go through these hoops to prove that they patch their Android correctly, they lock it down correctly, because that's owned by the OEMs. Now Microsoft are releasing an Android OS from themselves, which is quite interesting when you think about the kind of history and Google and stuff like that. Obviously, Android and Microsoft have had Android devices in the past, things like the Surface Duo and their mobile devices, but very niche. But this is a specific variant of the Android open source operating system made by Microsoft, maintained by Microsoft, that's open to the OEMs to use as the basis for their room systems. So in theory, this will tick a lot of boxes for enterprise customers who trust Microsoft and their pedigree to look after security and compliance. The OEM takes that from Microsoft and updates it with Microsoft. Actually, Jabra were the first to announce they'll have a unit based on this new Microsoft OS. So I don't know, Josh, if you've got anything you can share on that front.
I mean, it's such early stages that there's not a lot of meat on the bones outside of what Microsoft announced in their blog, right? And it just so happened that with Jabra announcing the video bar system back at ISE coming out later in the year, that it was timing all lined up to say, this is an easy one to sit here and work with this new OS, because it's still coming out and being developed. So that will be the case. Like you said, the ecosystem is going to be open a lot wider, I'm sure, as time goes on. Beyond that, it's just Jabra will have that device out there whenever it becomes available later in the year. Hopefully later in the year, right? We all know how that timing works.
Yeah.
At this stage, what it looks to be is, you know, an upgrade. And that's a lot of the questions at the booth at Enterprise Connect centered around the whole upgrade process. And how does that work? Is it just a firmware upgrade, et cetera? And that's basically what customers would be looking at if they're running on their OEM's own flavor of Android. They could get upgraded through Microsoft's portals to the new Android OS provided by Microsoft, which I love the way they name it. You just mentioned their naming a minute ago, Devices Partner Ecosystem, or Devices Ecosystem Platform, or something like that. So not at all Microsoft Android.
The Microsoft Android MDEP, I think, is the Microsoft Devices Platform, whatever it is. But we're not using Mandroid. That's definitely not the term we're all going to use. It's super interesting, though, because, you know, OEMs, some of them have more pedigree than others in terms of looking after Android and managing Android, and some of them embed features and abilities in their OS. So Empowering Cloud, the first piece of research we got asked for from enterprise customers was an Android bar comparison, and which version of Android is running and how they look after it was a big topic of conversation.
Yeah.
So we've just finished that research and now we've got to go back to it again and look at the Microsoft option. But it'll be interesting. I mean, are people like, are vendors going to have the Microsoft flavor of their OS and the standard flavor? Are we going to see Zoom Rooms running the Microsoft Android because it's just Android platform? Super interesting to see Microsoft throw that hat in, but I think it's good for Android in the enterprise because it even further legitimizes it as a platform in those customers that are super worried about, you know, security updates and patching.
It removes a lot of roadblocks to the conversation as a customer progresses down the Android path. It's that whole separate conversation about, well, let me see white papers or what you did to. They're trusting the platform already. They've already selected Teams. Yeah. Now they can continue to select that choice or trust that choice into the OS running on the device and not have to worry about a whole third conversation with the OEM provider. So it'll be interesting to watch the story unfold for sure.
Well, good stuff. I think, you know, I was just going to say quickly, you know, how many customers ask for a white paper on Windows? Probably none. They always ask it for Android to make sure it's compliant, and hopefully this will tick a box. And my wish as well is that it'll, you know, whitelist the device as a trusted certified device, so you don't have all these complex Intune policies that customers have to go through and hoops to jump through to get them approved. So it'll be interesting to see this platform develop.
Yeah, I think also for the monitoring and reporting and stuff, Microsoft will be able to embed their agents at the OS level. So we should get, in theory, over time, a better insight on the Microsoft Android OS as to exactly what's going on. Like you say, it should sail through Intune as a whitelisted device, that kind of thing.
And who knows? Maybe it'll be less of a feature comparison question out there. Well, what's on Windows and what's on Android? Maybe Microsoft will actually tighten up the feature release schedule a little bit. That would be cool. I'm not holding my breath, but that would be pretty cool.
It would be interesting to see if Microsoft mandate their Android version to the OEMs, because then you're in a position of some OEMs will take it, some won't. How does that affect the market? It's going to be an interesting one as it develops, that's for sure.
I'm just wondering whether this is building a new cool kids club for customers. You know, when was it last year? Microsoft released that Android support timeline post out of nowhere, and suddenly every customer in the world was asking, "Oh, you know, what's happening with your version of Android?" And you know, I'm not going to name any OEMs or anything like that on their schedules and things like that. Most have all, you know, pulled their socks up and kind of gone to Android 10. Based on that article, but that was an insistence from customers that everybody be on at least Android 10. And when's 11 coming? And when's 13 coming?
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. Our customers are going to be saying, well, if yours isn't built on Microsoft's version of Android, so yeah, we're just going to go to the ones that are, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that it'll be how much weight customers put in it will dictate how big the OEMs do it. You know, if OEMs see deal sizes where they're like, it'll only be in the game if you're with the Microsoft Android OS, I'm sure they'll present options. I can't imagine every vendor going to it, because particularly the ones that are more mature in the market, they have clever things they do at the OS level that crosses vendors. So it's interesting, Simon, as you say, do they make that a certification standard at some point? We'll see.
But the Android that's running on these things is barely Android. It's just, you know, it's a scaffolding for which you hang an OS. You know, Neat have their Neat OS, Logi have Collab OS, Poly have Poly OS, Jabber have, I don't know what it is. Josh, you can correct me what the name is now that you have.
I don't know that there's an official name out there yet.
Jabber OS. We'll call it Jabber OS. Everybody has, you know, a version of an OS that sits on top of the scaffolding, which is, you know, device administrator Android. So it'd be interesting to see if Microsoft is actually a little more than that scaffolding, or if it's just another kind of variant of this scaffolding that Google already do.
I think it gives new vendors a boost as well. There's a lot of OEMs, you know, if you look at the 12 OEMs we have in play at the moment, there's some that are relatively new to the device market and some that have been there for before Microsoft had devices. So like it gives them an instant boost of credibility to say they're on the Microsoft OS, I think.
Yeah, I think to Simon's point, I think it's going to be largely market driven, right? Those that don't get on and they aren't told to get on, if that's the case, I think they're just going to sit there and watch how the market responds. And if it's overwhelmingly customers saying we want the Microsoft trusted approach, then you know they'll pivot according to the market. But it's a wait and watch game.
And we know, I mean, from the Surface discussion, they don't. Sometimes Microsoft don't feed and water their operating systems in the necessary time. So I think that would be the one that I would watch out for. You know, I think from an enterprise perspective, they would appreciate the Microsoft OS. But then when they turn around and say, well, we can't do feature A, B, or C because it's not running, you know, the certain version of OS that the OEM is running, then it turns into a different discussion. And I'd advise them not to get into that. You know, make it consistent if they can.
Well, certainly lots to think about, isn't there? So, Tom, let's talk team displays. We've got a couple more things to get through before we jump onto the devices.
Yeah, Teams displays, two really good announcements here. So first one is QR code sign-in. I think we've all been asking for a simple way for Teams display sign-in for a while, and our competitor platforms definitely have those options. So in the hot desking scenario, you'll be able to rock up to a device, use the QR code on your camera, that'll magically push you through to the Teams app. And yeah, kind of like if you've experienced like the Netflix type sign-in or BBC iPlayer sign-in type experience, all syncs through and signs in. So that's really slick. And the other Teams display announcement was the virtual receptionist, which is the idea of having a neat frame like device or any Teams display, but they demoed it with the neat frame, sitting in a reception area, one button to click through to a video receptionist who in theory could be covering out of hours or lots of different locations. And they had that demoed at the show as well. And it's quite a slick experience.
Okay, a couple of nice features there, certainly. And another one that was mentioned as well was click to call. I found this one particularly interesting. Do you want to take us through how that works?
Yeah, this is interesting. This is not a new technology, but this is Microsoft kind of productizing and simplifying the idea of doing a voice and video call from a browser, and I guess potentially an app at some point, into Microsoft Teams on the back end. So this is actually using Azure Communication Services, which is the foundation of Teams, to do a WebRTC call. What was interesting is there was no mention of WebRTC, because that's not an industry term that everybody's excited about anymore. It was just like, look, you can have this browser plug into your website and do magic team calls. Simon, I know with Cloud Interact, you do quite a lot of the kind of WebRTC, ACS type stuff. Is that something you were seeing as market demanded, or is that Microsoft just tidying up the story? What were your thoughts there?
No, it's absolutely market demand. There is a clear shift going on in the contact center space from telephony into chat and voice and video. But when you actually look at the market, there isn't that many options for voice, you know, for that kind of integrated service with voice and video. And the interesting thing for Microsoft is they actually have the products. They have the building blocks in Azure Communication Service. They have, you know, hundreds of millions of users on Teams. So they have agents that could be sat behind. They just haven't quite put those building blocks together into a single product that they can go and articulate the value to any enterprise customer at the moment. So, I'm glad they've done that. It's not new technology. It's around 12 months, you know, it's about 12 months old. But I'll be interested to see if they can start to articulate. And it's something that we're doing. So we're a little bit agnostic in terms of, you know, Amazon or Salesforce or Microsoft. And it is interesting that we go and speak to quite a few Microsoft shops, but they feel they don't have the option to be able to use that capability. But and then we say, well, we can if you want. We just have to we have to put it together. There's no simple sign up plan.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's been buried in Devland. Now Microsoft are giving it a skew, basically. So I think we'll see a lot of SMB mid-market being like, oh, I'm perfectly happy to do this plug into my website and suddenly have video calling.
Yeah. And then just finally, the table stakes is always still telephony. And I feel like we're going back to the debate of 12, 13 years ago where, you know, telephony will disappear in the enterprise. It's taken a big hit over the 13 years, and it will disappear in the contact center, but not yet. The table stakes are you have to enter with a good PSDN dial-in, dial-out capability so that you can at least get customers across and then transfer to the new capabilities. I don't think you're going to go into many customers and say, just ditch your phone lines that you've been using for, you know, 15, 20, 25 years, and go to this newfangled technology.
Yeah, it's going to be an additional option, isn't it? Like having that. Like, I think every website now has web chat. Like, you'd expect that. That's the base. Hopefully, in a few years, we'll expect click to call, click to video on websites as well.
Yep.
Good stuff. Well, let's talk Teams devices, because we saw something interesting on stage last week at Enterprise Connect, which was a collaboration between Cisco and Microsoft on stage, wasn't it, Tom? I mean,
yeah. This was the big thing for most people at the show, to be honest, was the fact that Cisco turned up on the Microsoft keynote and Microsoft turned up in the Cisco keynote, both promoting the fact that Cisco devices now have a mode to run Microsoft Teams Rooms, so like legitimate certified devices. And the first two certified devices from Cisco are now out, so officially certified, the Board Pro and the other board. And I think that it just shows the follow through on the announcements we saw previously, where Cisco are prepared to, you know, join the Microsoft ecosystem and be a device partner option for customers that want that Cisco device but want the Microsoft ecosystem.
I mean, I'm keen to hear what everyone else has got to say on this, but is that as easy as it sounds, taking a Cisco device and connect it into the Microsoft world, or you know, things are going to need upgrades and whatnot to kind of get there?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody wants to jump in, but I mean, it's only a select number of devices that run the chipset. So it's not every Cisco device suddenly works for Teams. It's a small subset and mostly new devices.
Correct. Yeah, I think it's, you know, anything released in the last, you know, 6-9 months. You know, all the, I think it's NVIDIA based chipsets in the Cisco devices. So it's the newer hardware. So now this, let's call it first batch of devices are done. They're now working on the next devices from Cisco. So I think it's their WebEx bar and their, you know, their larger room system. But yeah, it's certainly interesting that they've got, you know, if we look at the board sizes, you know, we've got the Surface Hub at 50 inch and 85. You've now got Cisco with 55 and 75. You've got Neat with the 65 inch, and then you've got Yealink with 65 and 86 or 85, I think. So lots of variables, you know, for customers to have choice on what size screen they want.
I feel an infographic coming on. We've also then we've got the Microsoft Teams on Windows option and the Microsoft Teams on Android options as well. So we've got some interesting variants in the board space.
I think that's a stroke of genius on Microsoft's part, specifically from his leadership that came into play several years back, that, like you just mentioned, you need to play with Microsoft nicely in whatever part of the ecosystem you're in. And I think that's a direct result that Microsoft finally understood they needed to play nicely with others in the ecosystem. And that worked out in their favor immensely in all kinds of ways. And this is just some of the fruits of that shift in mindset. We're going to work well on with Linux and Apple and whoever. We're going to play nice. And it's come back to benefit them. But yeah, to the point of the devices in the Cisco ecosystem, you know, having recently come from Diversified, that was an interesting conversation about when Cisco entered the market, what does this look like for our customers? You know, how does that impact all the other OEMs out there? And you definitely see this giant pause as customers are like, we're about to go into rooms. Wait a minute, what's the Cisco announcement? We all have a bunch of Cisco stuff. What does this mean for us? And it's taken time to unpack that, to learn, hey, does this fleet of legacy devices, does this qualify me for essentially a free upgrade or something? And a lot of them had to come to learn, no, that doesn't mean that. There are select devices. That's a specific path forward.
Free in Cisco, Josh. That should have been an easy one, right?
Right. You know, but it took them time, collectively, a large segment of the market. It took them a moment to understand, digest that news, and really figure out, okay, so do we continue on Cisco hardware or do we actually pivot? And I think there's a select few of them are like, oh, great, we're in a perfect situation. We can keep utilizing this equipment. For the wide majority of them were like, oh, can we? Nope, we can't. All right, so how do we move forward? Then I think we're
going to... Yeah, I think to your point, a lot of customers suddenly thought they could take their legacy Cisco equipment and it would magically Teamsify it, and they were like really excited. Yeah. And now it's like, well, I've got to spend money on new kit. Do I still look at the ecosystem options? And there are a set of hardcore Cisco customers where they want to stay on Cisco hardware, and they probably will. But I think most people will look at the market options. And we've seen this before. I mean, good luck to this partnership. But like, we've seen partnerships go hot and cold between Microsoft and Cisco. So we'll keep a close eye on this over the next, you know, months and years, and see if every Cisco device stays in fashion with Microsoft.
Yeah, it must have been an incredibly difficult decision for Cisco, because if you're in that WebEx team, then it's like, oh, can we put WebEx on the Microsoft Teams rooms? Well, you only can by direct join, not in the partnership way. So, I think it tells you all it needs to know about where WebEx and Microsoft Teams are relative in the marketplace at the moment.
Is it the modern day cookie link? How long will it last before the next upgrade comes and then it breaks everything?
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing here is they're running the Microsoft Teams rooms, so in theory it should be a lot more robust. It's not a fork or a plug-in, but I think people that have been in the industry for a decade are watching and seeing what happens.
Yeah, I don't think it is the same as Cookie Link, because Cookie Link and Cookie Mock was an attempt of Cisco to insert their software into the desktop, effectively competing, and it was basically a gambit to say, well, it kind of works together. But you still had to buy Cisco software, whereas on here you have to buy obviously Cisco hardware, but not the software, and I think that's the big difference.
Perfect. So one more device update, Tom. Poly Studio X70. That's a new announcement.
Yeah, this is notable. This took a while to come through and get announced. It's notable because it's the certified for large meeting rooms. So it's a bar form factor on Android, but certified for large meeting rooms and has Poly's direct AI in it. So interesting to see a bar that can be capable of a large meeting room.
Fantastic. And from the wider ecosystem, we just thought we'd better mention Landis's certification.
Yeah. Congrats to Landis. They've certified for the Contact Center Extend model. So I think we're up to 8 certified vendors for Extend. It's still really interesting in the market. I'm not seeing enterprises necessarily understand the difference between the different certifications in Microsoft Contact Center for Teams. So Landis have got the one where they're more tightly integrated. And we've still not seen any information on the Power, which is the next certification up. Nobody's hit that yet, but I hear on the grapevine there'll be stuff coming around that. But yeah, congrats to Landis being in the mix and officially certified.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, well, before we round up today's session, let's just talk about a few events that are coming up. Tom, what's top of your list?
So we've got a few exciting events coming up. So we've got Ilya on the Teams Fireside Chat, our monthly chat online. We've just had all that Microsoft Teams news, the BYOD news, so really excited to get into the mix on that. And we'll get into the real detail around that. That'll be quite fun. That's this month. We've got ComsV Next coming up this month as well. So that is the show in Denver, Colorado, towards the end of this month, 25th, 26th of April. That'll be a really good show. Always lots of really good speakers there. A few people I see here are speaking there as well. And Crestron Modern Work Summit is May 23rd, 24th. I'll be doing a panel there, and I think we're going to try and organize some kind of Empowering Cloud breakfast meetup or something as well. So if you're going to that event, let me know and I'll get you on that list.
Fantastic. Thanks for that, Tom. And just before we leave, I just wanted to go to the room and get a little bit of kind of feedback or perspectives on the latest kind of Copilot release or feature set. What do we think of Copilot? Is it going to help increase Microsoft's monthly active users, for example? Do we see it as a game changer for Microsoft Teams?
Well, I think they've hit the first base of, I know CIOs who are asking, oh, what's all this Copilot? People who are not particularly necessarily in favor of Microsoft at the sort of C level, it's definitely hit a mark. So, well done to them for that. I'm not so sure about Copilot in itself, but in terms of the AI discussion, I saw a couple of stats that kind of brought it home. US workforce, 164 million. 20% of the workforce could be hit by 50% of automation with AI. 80% of the workforce hit by 10%. When you run those numbers, that's millions and millions of days' work that are going to disappear. And obviously, Microsoft are right at the front of that with OpenAI, and obviously they'll use Copilot to compete with the Zooms of the world or whatever. So it's going to be a very exciting time over the next 6 months. I just hope it doesn't disappoint. I hope there's something real behind it.
Yeah, I'm curiously optimistic about it just because of playing with ChatGPT. You can see the power. Like I use it now for ChatGPT, that is, for things like podcast summaries and synopsis for things we're doing with Empowering Cloud. And it needs a bit of tuning, but it's already there. I use a third party AI product for some slide creation as well. So the technology's there. I think the interesting thing with Microsoft is the whole compliance conversation, GDPR. Italy just banned ChatGPT. Like, how are Microsoft going to handle that conversation in enterprise around where's the data go? How do I get it deleted? How do I discover it with large models like that? It's very complicated.
And they're very fortunate, right? Because in the data models, they've already got all the data within M365. So they can, and they've got OpenAI as an Azure service. So you can see them very quickly turning around and saying, well, we know everyone's using ChatGPT externally, so implement it internally
Yeah,
within
maybe they
Microsoft.
can make this the secure variant of ChatGPT. That's interesting. That's a really interesting angle. You're going to
Exactly.
marketing, Simon.
Well, it's not my idea actually. Someone very smart 12 to 13 years ago said BPOS-D isn't, or BPOS-S at the time, it wasn't really about the service charges, it was about getting all the data and then selling it back to organizations, selling their own data back to organizations. And that person is pretty close to the mark, I think.
But I think with who is the target user? Is it going to be the elite, 5-10% of power users, or is it going to be everyone, from the frontline worker right up to contact center and everyone else? And again, as Patrick says, at what price? Who will be afforded access to it, I think is key.
Well, I think it'd be everyone. Yeah.
I think like you can't go for free. I think it'll probably work its way into premium at some in some kind of way. So whether or not it moves the needle on daily active users at large, I would be doubtful about that at large. Whether it moves the needle on premium subscriptions, because Microsoft is figuring out how in the world to continue to drive adoption of premium, how to make that a success, maybe that's where it has an impact and it starts to carve out some space through premium. But I would be surprised if it like suddenly increased their overall cloud audience.
I think it could also be a useful tool for Microsoft to say to the enterprise, why are you splintering your data off into another platform? And I'll just take, Zoom or Slack, but if you put your data in multiple platforms, then we're not going to be able to run the AI magic via the graph and via OpenAI. So therefore, let's justify having all your chat and all your meetings within one platform, and we'll be able to run it. That might be another angle that they might use.
Yeah, it's like getting people over from other meeting platforms into Teams meetings is one big thing. I know customers that are using Teams for collaboration and chat and things internally, maybe even phone calls to some extent, but they might be using another meeting platform, which it kind of makes doesn't make any sense to me actually paying for two different platforms. But I think unless that other platform had some capability to do this AI stuff. But the problem is it's losing a lot of context. If it's just a meeting in isolation, it doesn't have access to any of the data that's behind anything, or actually the org list, or all that sort of thing. I heard examples of somebody mentioning somebody by nickname, and actually because of the context of the people that were actually in that call, actually figuring out who that person's identity was in AD and things. It's like, that's mind-boggling. If you're on another platform, doesn't have access to all of that, then it isn't going to be possible. So actually getting people over to use Teams meetings, I think, is a big thing. And then again, if they're using webinars or any of the premium features, again, it's going to sell premium licenses. And the fact that this also touches Office. It isn't just going to be a Teams premium thing, is it? If you want it to make a PowerPoint presentation for you, it's going to be sort of part of the Office
Yeah,
subscription.
I think we'll see a
As Mark said
Copilot
in our little
SKU,
side
won't
chat,
we? That has
E10,
the whole suite, and I think it's gonna be a pretty justifiable SKU, to be honest. Because like, if you look at the productivity saving, it's very overt. Like, if it can create 70% of a PowerPoint for me for $10 or $15 a month, I'm all over it. Like
Yeah, I've got a
just that
PowerPoint
one
to
use
create
case.
for an event coming up, so.
exciting times ahead. Well, Tom, I suppose it remains to be seen whether this is the hype, you know, surrounding this new technology, or whether we will, whether it will take hold in the marketplace. But we'll see, and we'll keep updating everyone on this as it unravels. Tom, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for everybody who joined us as well for all the opinions. And it was, yeah, it was a great show at Enterprise Connect. And thanks to everybody who I spoke to during that week as well. So we'll, as you say, we'll see how this news unravels, and we'll be back next month with more news and more details.
Yeah, thanks everyone for joining us. And that's it from us. If you've enjoyed today's session, please subscribe to UC Today News and give this video a quick share on social. It's always appreciated. And if you're a Microsoft Teams fan and want to be part of the conversation, you can connect with Tom, myself, and our guest speakers on LinkedIn and Twitter, and our social links are in the description. So thanks to everyone for joining me. We'll be back again next month. I'm Rob Scott from UC Today. Thanks for watching.